Hello and welcome to Refugees at Work, a podcast by the Tent Partnership for Refugees. As an organization, we work with businesses to help refugees economically integrate into their new societies. I'm Daniela Guzman, and I'll be your host for today. During each episode of Refugees at Work, you'll hear from a refugee, someone who was forced to flee their home country. We'll speak with people working at major global companies or running their own businesses, and you'll hear about their remarkable personal journeys and the contributions they make in our communities and economies. We hope you'll enjoy our series. To make sure you don't miss an episode, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Today, we're speaking with Hiba. Hiba originally comes from Syria. Since 2011, war in Syria has forced more than half the country's population to flee their homes, including 6.6 million refugees that have fled to other countries. It is the largest refugee crisis in the world. In Syria, Hiba was a university student in Damascus, with her future clouded by the uncertainty of war. She left Syria and came to the UK to start a new life in 2015. And these days, Hiba has an apprenticeship at Arup, a global engineering and architecture company headquartered in London. While learning a foreign language and adapting to her new community in the UK, Hiba also navigated the British higher education system and the job market, seeking opportunities that would open doors to a career in the engineering field. Her pursuit of these opportunities paid off. Now as an apprentice at Arup, she's getting the work experience that will pave the way to a successful career. To start off, could you tell us about your background? What were you doing before you came to the UK?
So, I moved to the UK in 2015, and prior to that, I was living in Damascus, Syria. It was where I was born and raised, and lived my whole life. I had finished high school and then, you know, started to see what options are there to go to uni and stuff, and started a architectural technology course. It wasn't something I wanted to do. It was getting into universities in Syria is very different than how the system is in the UK. You know, you list things and then you get whatever they choose for you. So you don't essentially choose for yourself as much as you do here in the UK. So I was really enjoying it and was doing well. And that was the plan. But all things changed and the situation in Syria was getting worse and worse by the day. So at the time, there were talks about what to do next and where to live and everything. So yeah, we decided to move out and came here to London to live in April 2015 to start a new life in the UK. And the first time I spent here, it was very scary because it was very big and lots of new things, whether it's people, culture, language, everything you could imagine.
Wow, there were so many changes you had to cope with. What did you set out to do when you felt more settled?
So the plan was, because I hadn't finished the architectural technology course I was on, to come and start uni straight in the same field I was doing, or at least something within the engineering world, which I was mainly interested in. And that didn't happen because of many circumstances that were involved, and the main one was that because I couldn't get a loan because of my residency status. So I'd need 3 years of residency to be able to apply and be accepted for a loan to afford the tuition fees. And that wasn't possible.
Wow, that must have been so frustrating to have to wait to continue your studies. Since your initial plans changed, what did you do in the meantime?
So not being able to start uni was very, very frustrating. And in my head, it was like, I'm going to be wasting my time waiting for 3 years to be able to start uni. And all the plans I had in my head was like, no more. And it was tough to determine what to do and find the people that can help. And back then, I didn't know many people. And I started just thinking and looking and Googling things. And like a couple of days forward, I thought I must be able to do something. And I thought of it as an opportunity to know my community better and the place where I'm in, and the people and how everything works, the systems, the education, how the job market is, and what is there I can get the benefit of to take my personal, my academic and social life to the next level. So yeah, there were many things that I started doing. So first I started doing some English courses because my English wasn't as good. So back in Syria, we only learned English as a second language in like school. So when I came here, I found myself really lacking. In the first year of arriving, I was doing three courses, and I was also volunteering in a charity shop. And volunteering at this charity shop was like one of the best things I've done. It's very nice to be able to like communicate with people and, you know, getting to know the community better and know how people speak with each other. And these like day-to-day things that I didn't see before. I didn't see in the movies or anything that I learned English from.
That's really incredible. You found a way to give back to the community, learn more about the culture and learn the language, which is not an easy feat. How do you think learning English helped you to get you to where you are today?
Yeah, so learning the language has had a very big impact on getting me to where I am now. Hadn't I not done what I'd done to be better with my English, I don't think I'd get to where I got now. It wasn't easy, the first thing I have to say. I think this is something I put on myself, that I need to be able to speak English just as well as everyone else that's either in my age or around me, just because there is something around us in the community, whether we like it or not, or whether we agree to it or not, that when people speak in a certain accent, they tend to be judged in a different way. So I applied for a GCSE English course, which is like a general certificate for English speaking. I did two English courses at the same time, and I was listening to English the whole day, like watching videos or listening to the news or anything that I could do, really. It's like learning the language and getting to this kind of point of professionalism and fluency in the language is a lot of hard work and dedication that goes into it. And this eventually will get you to the point where nobody will be able to differentiate between, nobody will be able to pick an accent, basically.
What an achievement. I'm curious about your journey to your current role at AirUp. Can you tell us more about that?
So, yeah, as I said, my main goal was to get in the engineering world, and having this 3-year gap, I'm really grateful for, actually, because this has actually made me more informed, and contrary, I mean, to what locally is thought about what an apprentice is. It's usually someone who is not done great at the school or college, or someone who doesn't want to go to uni, or someone who's not academic in general. But I mean, when I came here and with my circumstances, I thought I need to be able to do something that's gonna suit me and also put me on track or where I want to get. So after like 2 years, I did an access to science. So in my mind, I thought I'd do this. It's a level 3 and I'll be able probably to find something. The third year, at that time where I started to get more exposure to the apprenticeship world and job market, and started looking for companies more, looking for people who help with interviews, CVs and these stuff, and you know, doing more research every day, like googling stuff, googling companies, looking for opportunities here and there. And yeah, I found AirUp, which I've already heard before, and they seemed like good people, and I thought I'd give it a go, give the application a go, and I did. And yeah, at the end of that third year of me being in the UK, I was at a point where I got offered a civil engineering course at university, as well as the apprenticeship offer from AirUp, which was also this like put me in another challenge. I think it was one of the hardest decisions I've ever made in my life. When I applied and did my interviews and everything, people were very, very nice and very, very encouraging, and the fact that they believed in me, although like the background I have is not like very traditional or not very straightforward. And here I am.
So you had to choose between two amazing opportunities. You chose the apprenticeship at AirUp and you're doing a fantastic job. What has this first job in the UK meant to you?
So I have to say that when I got the job offer, I was like literally cloud nine. I was on cloud nine. It helped me transition because I makes me, you know, it makes me feel from this community, and I know what is going on in this place, and I can get into discussions, and I can contribute to everything.
Did you have mentors that helped you feel more at ease in this new professional environment?
I did have mentors that, yeah, they were helping me to know things better, and it was quite overwhelming and stressful, especially the first couple of weeks. My ego, I'd say, didn't allow me to like to express that, like even to like my manager or my mentor. I didn't want to express it because I wanted to like prove to myself, first of all, and just be someone who can actually be given work and do it well. And there was like many events at work, so like around refugees, and I've been trying to take part in those events and try to raise more awareness and raise my profile.
How do you think that your background shaped your journey in the UK and at your job?
So yeah, this is something I found about myself very recently. I think how I see things is like, because we are from a different country, different culture, religion, background, different everything, when we come here and we know with this very overwhelming new big place, we tend to find ourselves a weak link. For example, I'm from a different country. I can't speak the language. My opportunities are far less than anyone who's been born and raised and educated in this country. And because of like this mentality, we tend to think of ourselves as not as good or not as able or less influential or maybe less capable of doing things. For me, I didn't think myself as any different. So I didn't think myself, so I don't know. So that's, you know, that's a weak point. I'm not able of doing this, or I'm not able of doing that. And treating myself just like someone who was born, raised, educated, lived here. So yeah, I think not treating myself any different.
How has working at AirUp helped you feel more integrated?
So I really appreciate how companies like AirUp or like other companies try to make it easier for people like me to get into a professional world and the job market. And this is not an easy thing to do. They already had some things in place. One of them was for me as a Muslim, I could, you know, go and do have 5 prayers a day. There is like a prayer room. There is this flexibility with the time, and there is many way to speak out and express things, which is nice.
What's your advice to companies that want to hire refugees and don't know where to start?
So I think it needs to be worked on many levels, and this starts with the recruitment process, for example. So diversify the recruiters first, and make them informed about the different people there are and the different perspectives and backgrounds of these people that might apply. It's also always not to just look at what their qualifications are or what the grades they have. For example, in my case, it's what things they can bring and what their potential is. That's one thing. Another thing is like to talking to those people, talking to us and listening. This is not just for the individual themselves, it's also a great thing for the community and the company as well. Another thing is things like social events, make sure they are fully integrated in terms of like food, drink, games, stuff like that. For example, me as a Muslim, I don't drink and I don't go to like bars, and I don't go to like nightclubs and stuff. And this is considered socials in this country, in this culture, and that's absolutely fine. But I mean, if someone is not happy to do these stuff, try and think around ways of getting the office together or like the people together in different ways.
Thanks, Hiba. And to close, I'd like to ask you what your biggest achievement at AirUp has been so far.
So yeah, as you know, I work in the transport planning team at AirUp. And this apprenticeship that I'm doing is part study, part work. And the study part, there was a manager of the program who like brought up this nomination. And we had a couple of chat and we saw the criteria and everything. And it's the BAME Apprenticeship Award. So BAME, which is Black, Asian, Minority Ethnicities. And I won the award, which is the BAME Apprentice of the Transport Logistics Award.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Oh, thank you very much.
Congratulations, Hiba. That's very well deserved. What a great way to end our episode on an inspirational note. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Hiba.
That's all right. Thank you very much for having me. And yeah, looking forward to whatever comes next.
That concludes our episode for today. Make sure to subscribe to Refugees at Work for more inspiring stories like this one. And if your company is interested in supporting refugees, head over to tent.org. That's T-E-N-T to get started. Thanks for joining us to listen to Hiba's story on our second episode of Refugees at Work.